This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Allison Boder, President and CEO of the American Frozen Food Institute. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with AFI's Allison Boder next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 560 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The latest dietary guidelines for Americans has been released. The plate is gone and the pyramid is back, only turned upside down. The emphasis moving forward is for whole foods, nutrient-dense foods, more protein, and less processing. Allison Boder, President and CEO of the American Frozen Food Institute, says they're pleased with the government's new recommendations.
We appreciate that the guidelines acknowledge that frozen fruits and vegetables can be good options. And I think I'd clarify and go one step further that frozen fruits and vegetables are consistently just as good as fresh fruits and vegetables. Certainly eating more fruits and vegetables has been a longstanding goal of the U.S. government, and frozen has an important role to play in that, especially since frozen fruits and vegetables have often the same or better nutrient levels as fresh and have a longer shelf life that prevents food waste, making them a more affordable option. I would say another call out from these guidelines that we're really pleased about is the focus on portion control, portionality, and the flexibility for consumers to adjust their portions as needed for their individual profiles. Pre-portioned, prepared frozen meals directly address that. And many consumers choose pre-portioned frozen meals because they make healthy eating easy. It's really time to rethink frozen foods, to have some fresh thinking about frozen foods. And I think the dietary guidelines are positioning frozen really well to do that.
Let's begin with COVID. How has the consumers demand for food, desire for food products change post-COVID, and how does that play into this new millennial generation that is a faster lifestyle and perhaps a demand for better food, but also not as much time for food preparation at home?
COVID, we saw incredible demand for frozen, of course, because consumers were at home, they weren't going out to restaurants. And frozen met the moment because we were ready for it. Frozen manufacturers had already gone through so much product renovation to really reintroduce frozen in a new way that meets consumers' expectations for health, for more variety in the better-for-you space, for cleaner labels, et cetera. So we met the moment well, and we were rewarded with incredible increase in sales. And of course, consumers during COVID also, well, maybe not of course, you might not have read about this, but they invested in their homes. And one of the investments was to buy more freezer space. Many people bought second freezers. And so that was a real boon to our industry as well. If you have a freezer, you generally fill it and you start to learn how to use it better, almost more of more like a pantry. So that was really kind of a silver lining of COVID for us. As consumers go back to eating out, of course, we've lost some of that growth over time as there are more options available to consumers today. But millennials are still leading the way with purchasing. They're the biggest consumer of frozen, and that makes sense, right? They're at the busiest time of their lives. They're working jobs. They have families, kids, sports activities, weekend activities, et cetera. So you're right. They are driving demand, and they're also looking for healthier foods. They are very values-driven, right? And one of their values is health. Another one of their values is sustainability. And frozen delivers on that as well by reducing food waste, which also has the benefit of making frozen foods helps consumers extend their food dollar. You know, it makes their food dollar go further with the affordability then that's achieved by reducing food waste. One other aspect to millennials that I'll mention is they are very adventurous eaters, and they love trying new global flavors, things that they might have eaten in a restaurant or, you know, if they can't travel, but they like these global flavors. And that's really driving a lot of innovation in the frozen food aisle. You'll see global flavors from everywhere around the world today, not just Asian fried rice, but Korean fried rice or Japanese fried rice and dumplings from certain areas in Asia, or, you know, food from different parts of Mexico, for example. So the millennials are definitely having an impact on the category.
Is the goal of AFI to pit yourself against the produce section of the grocery store, or are you in alignment with fresh produce?
Fresh and frozen, I think, complement each other in the marketplace. Just like, I mean, we eat, I'm sure you do too, I do, and my family, we eat fresh and frozen. And our data shows that most consumers combine fresh and frozen in their meal preparation. So I think it's more of a complementary aspect in the marketplace as well. There are certain commodities where frozen depends on the fresh market and vice versa, right? So what's left in the field after the first run that goes to fresh is able to go to frozen. So they work together very well. We have been working very hard to make sure that lawmakers and policy regulators appreciate the unique benefits of frozen and don't always default to fresh as the only option for consumers. Fresh is great, so is frozen.
So let's go back to my grandmas who had big gardens, who spent the summer canning and putting up product, and you always looked forward to going home for those home-cooked meals. Nothing against the canning process. Dispel some of the myths about the quality of produce, the quality of products that have been frozen. Frozen is not the same as it used to be. It's a state, not necessarily how you arrive there.
Good point. Frozen is not an indication of a level of processing. If it were, you'd have to say it's the most minimal level of processing. It is a temperature state. You're exactly right. And the only thing we add is cold air to get frozen foods. That is our primary mode of preservation. And what's exciting about frozen produce is that it is picked at the peak of harvest, so you're getting peak nutrient content, and it's frozen within hours, literally hours. The truck goes from the field right to the processing facility, and it's frozen. It locks in the nutrients and the quality and the flavor in produce. And similarly, with meals are prepared and they're frozen immediately. A frozen burrito is filled, wrapped, and it goes right into the freezer. So again, it's locking in the quality and the freshness of just prepared foods or just harvested fruits and vegetables.
Recognizing the frozen food advantage, perhaps, number one, from a convenient standpoint for a busy consumer, but also from a food waste perspective in that you might not have time to prepare that fresh produce when the frozen is already prepared, and it won't go to waste. It can go back into the freezer for another meal another time.
That's certainly a great benefit of frozen. You know, 40% of food waste occurs in the home, and frozen is one of the least wasted categories of all. And that's exactly for the reasons that you say. One, either we've got portioned meals where the consumer is eating just a portion, or you've got a larger bag and you can just cook what it is your family wants that night, and you can put the rest in the freezer. So that food waste component, we're a food waste prevention strategy for the consumer. It's good for the environment and it's good for their wallets.
I did some research prior to our conversation, and I see that over 10% of household waste of fruits and vegetables only 6% for frozen. For fruit, 6.2% is wasted. For frozen, it's 0.6%. For vegetables, 5.5% waste. From fresh, only 1.4% for frozen. So it appears there's a clear advantage from a waste perspective on food.
You're absolutely right. And that is such a benefit for the consumer. None of us can afford to lose waste, can afford to waste food these days, but especially across the board. And when you think about low-income consumers and folks who are taking advantage of SNAP or even who are involved in federal feeding programs, frozen is a way that we can provide as a country more food to those who need it for the same dollar. So there are real advantages, and that's a point that we are communicating also to the Hill, how to be more efficient with taxpayer dollars. There are advantages to using more frozen in federal feeding programs.
Let's talk about the SHOCK Act, because that proposal legislation helps to dispel some of the misconceptions that might be about frozen food, especially frozen food versus fresh.
The SHOCK Act stands for Supporting All Healthy Options When Purchasing Produce. A bit of a mouthful. And you're right. What it does is encourages USDA to prioritize frozen fruits and vegetables in their GUSNIP nutrition incentive programs. Today, the vast majority of those dollars go to fresh produce. Again, fresh is great, but consumers should also have access to the same choices that we have to provide the flexibility and the affordability that we enjoy. So the SHOCK Act does two things. One is it encourages USDA to incorporate more frozen fruits and vegetables into their nutrition incentive programs, which really advantage SNAP consumers. And two, it opens up the produce prescription program within USDA to frozen fruits and vegetables. Today, by statute, those dollars only go towards fresh produce. That's just a disservice to consumers who are looking to enjoy the same flexibility and benefits that we have, and especially when they're on a limited budget. Let's make sure that we're giving them all the choices that make it easy for them to eat healthier.
Again, with the dietary guidelines, the pyramid's back, but it's upside down. But there are three primary elements that are promoted, and that is whole food, that's minimally processed, and nutrient dense. And in this day where so many individuals are participating and using prescriptions of GLP-1, they need the most bang for the buck in terms of their caloric intake. And frozen fruit appears to have certainly a great advantage in all of those areas.
You're right. I think the guidelines really honed in on nutrient density and whole foods. And those are two, I think, distinguishing features of frozen foods. Both fruits and vegetables and prepared foods are nutrient-dense options. These are more nutrient-dense than a lot of other choices that consumers can make. And they're made with whole foods. These are foods that are similar to what you make at home, except it's made for you in a larger facility and it's frozen immediately. So we have those, the nutrient density and the whole foods, and that's exactly what GLP-1 users are turning toward as well. Our industry is ready for that, right? I think they're looking for portioned meals that are high in protein and high in vegetables, and they're made with whole grains. And we have those options in the frozen aisle. And in fact, our industry is innovating specifically to develop more products that meet GLP-1 users. There are a couple brands out there now that are specifically targeting GLP-1 users, providing them with, you know, the portion sizes and the nutrients that they're seeking.
Would you care to offer some results from the pilot program between the Partnership for a Healthy America, Instacart, and AFI? Allowing consumers the opportunity to venture out and to sample what frozen foods might mean in their caloric intake.
Yes. So we are so pleased with this partnership. We partnered with PHA toward the end of last year to incorporate frozen fruits and vegetables into a pilot program that they had with Instacart. Program participants in three cities, Baltimore, Chicago, and Philadelphia, And they'd never before used or included frozen fruits and vegetables in their pilots. What they found was that consumers really appreciated the long shelf life of frozen food, that really helped extend their ability to consume frozen and without it going to waste. All of the consumers reported having also freezer capacity at home, which also told us that, or reiterated, underscored the fact that frozen fruits and vegetables are a really practical nutrition solution for low-income households. That had been a question previously, and there certainly are some low-income households that don't have freezers, but that's a very low percentage. Consumers told us, the participants told us, that having frozen fruits and vegetables helped them save money, they were convenient, and they're easy to prepare. Again, getting back to some of the same benefits we saw in other groups. Importantly, PHA, moving forward after doing this pilot program, they're going to include frozen fruits and vegetables from now on. They understood the value that they were delivering to their constituents, to the participants, by including frozen fruits and vegetables. It was a great, great partnership.
Allison, we also know that these dietary guidelines have a huge influence in the meals that our schools are providing for students in the nation. How does frozen food factor into school nutrition and the goal of whole foods, minimally processed, nutrient dense, and also recognizing the preparation that must take place to serve?
Well, great question, Jeff. You know, in 2022, the School Nutrition Service did a survey of their operators, and they identified that some of the benefits of frozen foods in their operations included the year-round availability of foods, the long shelf life, which we've talked about already, and product consistency, right? So they can serve foods that kids understand will be what is a lasagna going to taste like, and that's lasagna day, and it's a consistent product over time. And importantly, the ease of preparation for the chefs at schools to prepare. One of the advantages today, and I think moving into the future in terms of changes to school meal regulations, as I think schools are under increasing pressure to prepare more foods from scratch, there's a labor challenge built in with that. There's a labor challenge today with how to prepare food in the time frame that they have and the number of meals that they have to serve every day. Frozen foods, because they arrive, if it's an ingredient, it's pre-chopped, pre-washed, pre-peeled, ready to be put into a recipe. It's empowering scratch cooking, saving schools the labor costs they would otherwise take to bring in product foods and use those steps. So they're already saving money in that way, but also by the longer shelf life, it's reducing waste even in the school environment. I think moving forward, as schools are looking at more scratch cooking or looking at ways to deliver product that is meeting new regulations, our corporate chefs at frozen food companies, those that supply foods into schools, they'll create recipes that meet whatever the new nutrient standards are and will still be enjoyable for kids. They're really excellent at developing foods and trying to meet both the palatability factor and the nutrient standards, but doing so also at a pretty slim price.
When I speak with individuals about issues that might be ahead for 2026, food labels come up, and there is a fear that there may be a patchwork of food labels from 50 different states in the nation. Is that a concern for your membership?
Absolutely. You know, most of our members that sell into retail have national distribution. So to sell a product into one state and think that they're going to be able to have the capability to create a different product for a different state with a different label and or different ingredients is just not realistic. So we're moving toward this lowest common denominator on ingredients and labeling, and it's just going to make it very challenging and costly to produce foods to meet those expectations. So we do not support, you know, a patchwork of state regulations, and hope that we'll see a federal solution that's predictable and ultimately supports uniformity in labeling and consumer transparency.
I've also been told of challenges that, again, are coming from different states on the packaging that food is presented in, not only the package that might actually touch the food, but then how the packaging is to be disposed of. Is this also a headwind you're facing?
I think it's a headwind for most food products. For frozen, it seems like a reasonable policy to have this extended producer responsibility, what I think you're getting at, where programs are shifting the cost of recycling away from taxpayers and onto producers. And it sounds reasonable. The problem is that each state is right now, they seem to be moving in different directions with that. And there isn't a system that helps or that is applicable to certain types of packaging nationally. So yeah, that does affect frozen food. For frozen, our package is vital for the safety and quality of the product within it. And it also can be the cooking vessel sometimes, right? So we have some unique materials. They're all often multi-layer films that are used to both protect the product and then cook the product in. So those sometimes fall into the highest cost categories under some of these EPR systems. So it's a headwind. We are members of AmeriPen, and AmeriPen's been doing a great job working with the state, trying to move toward more harmonized standards so that hopefully at some point in time we'll see greater national uniformity around recycling systems. And that would certainly help drive innovation.
Allison, inside the DGA recommendations, there were strikes against ultra-processed foods. Is all processing bad, or is some element of processing in food necessary or advantageous?
Well, processing, we have a lot to be thankful for food processing, the fact that we have an affordable food supply and a safe food supply and a very nutritious food supply. Processing often lacks in nutrition, such as the case with frozen. So frozen is, I like to think, a minimal degree of processing at best, and the advantages are so significant in terms of delivering safety, affordability, sustainability, and nutrition.
Well, Allison Boder, we want to thank you very much for taking time here after the first of the year and with a busy schedule to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. It is Open Mic, and today you have the last word.
Thank you, Jack. This has been my pleasure. I guess my last word, I hope your audience understands and appreciates that freezing is a temperature state, that it locks in quality and nutrition. And we are going to be looking for ways over the next year to help consumers, policymakers, regulators really understand and appreciate how frozen foods are prepared, whether that's straight out of the field to the processing facility, or whether it's in a facility that's making a burrito or a chicken pot pie. The process is very similar to what happens at home, just on a very large scale. And that's something that we want to share with consumers and policymakers so that they have a better understanding of what happens from farm to process. And we're going to look for ways to work with this administration to ensure that consumers continue to have access to affordable frozen foods for their health. My last comment would be, we've got a lot of great materials on our website, and I would encourage anyone that wants to learn more to go to frozenadvantage.org.
Our thanks to Allison Boder, President and CEO of the American Frozen Food Institute, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Daly.